Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Culinary Convo's United Foods of America. We are here with my lovely wife, Kaylee.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going?
It's going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of technical difficulties today.
Just another day.
Yeah. A lot of technical difficulties. But yeah, we're hanging out in the technical difficulties of the United States, Arizona. Because it's a desert, and I don't know why, but it has a huge gaping hole in it called the Grand Canyon. Besides Arizona iced tea and the Grand Canyon, what do you know about Arizona?
It's pretty hot year round.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of snowbirds
yep.
go there. So from the north when it's cold to the south during the winter. I was supposed to go to Arizona actually for the first time in March of 2020, but that did
perfect time to go, really.
That did not work out. So I haven't been since, but I would still really like to go because Phoenix and Scottsdale and Tucson.
And Flagstaff. Isn't that another one? Flagstaff?
Well, I just know like those three cities are pretty, there's a lot of good food.
Yes.
In each of those places. And so that's a big reason I want to go there. There's also quite a few national parks.
Yeah.
In Arizona and especially nearby in like Utah and
Cali.
Everything. So it's seems like a pretty easy place to experience it all.
Yeah. So. Coyote, Roadrunner, they both live there. Wiley.
Right.
Yeah. Not Wiley Dufresne, but Coyote.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of deaths, injuries because of walls that look like tunnels. It's a tough time out in Arizona.
I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. But no, moving forward here with Arizona, it is the 48th state in the U.S., so it was right before Alaska.
Mm.
Can you believe that? That's crazy to me that it was, I don't know why, but for some reason you expect it to go like west and north, and it didn't. It was just like, nope, it's that one touching the other border.
Yeah.
But as you can see there, a little bit of green in the map. If you're not watching on YouTube, you could.
Yeah.
You should. Otherwise, you got our podcast listeners, our Convonauts. They're hanging out. Only found in Arizona, the only type of Apache trout. Yeah. It's kind of like yellowish gold, and then it has like a green tint across the top.
Huh.
We got somebody holding an Apache trout here, and they're like, I caught an Apache trout.
He doesn't look very happy.
No. He looks like he just pulled it out of like a fishery.
I don't think he was expecting it to be that small.
Yeah.
So it's kind of small. It's like, barely bigger than both of his hands out. So.
Yeah. Poor guy. He's like, I'm going to feed my whole family off of this catch. And then he pulls it out. Nothing. But Indian reservations, they make up a quarter of the state.
I bet.
A lot of Indian reservations. And on the map that I've got pulled up, it has the reservations, but it also has, like, what are federal lands.
Mm.
And so, like, you add the federal lands and the Indian reservations, and it takes up well over half the state. Like,
yeah, well, a lot of Arizona is pretty inhabitable.
Yeah.
Kind of like Utah. And everything, so
yeah, a lot of desert.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of desert.
Yep.
Arizona has an official state neckwear, the bolo tie.
Oh
yeah, the bolo.
Huh.
You gotta have the bolo tie, two strings hanging down. Sometimes it's covered with some type of metal, sometimes it just looks like strings.
Yeah,
bolo ties. Anytime I saw somebody in a bolo tie and there isn't a desert background behind them, it comes off cheesy. You know?
Yeah, it can be out of place.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you go to some rodeo in the middle of, you know, it's like it fits in Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's like, what the heck? So, yeah, the bolo tie. And Arizona produces more copper than anywhere else in the U.S.
Huh.
Yeah. So, copper mining. You go to Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with Nevada. I heard Nevada, a lot of precious metals there.
Right.
Utah, you know.
Montana.
Yeah, Montana. Yeah, yeah. And all these facts, by the way, stateofdinner.com, famous food from Arizona. And then famous people from Arizona. One includes Geronimo.
Oh.
Yeah, Geronimo, ultimate warrior.
Huh.
Yeah, they would get at it, you know. Then you have Sandra Day O'Connor.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. First gal to be elected to the Supreme Court. Then you have Emma Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's okay. From Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she understood Zombieland way before she was actually on Zombieland, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next one here, we're actually hitting the food. We're going to it early. You got the Arizona Cheese Crisp.
Hmm.
Yeah. Arizona Cheese Crisps are open-faced quesadillas made with extra-large, thin flour tortillas, toasted with butter and cheese, and served with strips of mild green chilies. Yeah.
That looks really good.
It does. And from Taste Atlas, oops, I almost went to the next
Spoilers.
One.
Spoilers.
I know, right? Taste Atlas, they show it, you know, like a
looks
thicker.
Like pizza.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a thicker flatbread, and then they have like a full cheese crisp. But it's only cheese. The chilies, I can't see them on there, so I think it's only cheese. And they call it a Sonoran cheese crisp. The cheese crisps. The cheese crisp is an American dish originating from Arizona. It consists of a flour tortilla that is topped with shredded cheese in its most basic form. The tortilla is placed in a butter brush pan, which is put under a broiler until it develops a crisp texture. Cheeses such as cheddar, Oaxaca, or Monterey Jack are typically used in preparation of the cheese crisp. There are numerous variations, so the dish can also be topped with a variety of ingredients such as onions, carne asada, cilantro, jalapenos, bell peppers, and shrimp. It is believed that the cheese crisp was popularized by El Charro Cafe in Tucson.
I think that Taco Bell could probably easily do this.
Totally. Yeah, but they'd have to put it like in a, I don't know, like a paper, I don't know, box kind of thing that was like a Mexican pizza almost. Oh, did they bring that back? Oh, look at that. Oh, funny how that works. T-Bell. Yeah. Anyway. Now
people say something.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton says something.
Yeah.
Then
Dolly
you do
says
it.
Yeah, you do it. The next one here, peaky bread. That's right. Peaky bread. It doesn't look like bread at all. It kind of looks like a dried pepper.
Looks like a weird fish.
Yeah. Tamale, maybe. But peaky bread is a traditional unleavened bread originating from Arizona's Hopi tribe. The bread is made with blue corn, and it has numerous papery thin layers. It's cooked on heated peaky stones, which have been seasoned with either cooked sheep brains or bone marrow.
Oh, yeah. I was on board till that.
What?
Unfortunately.
What if it was just bone marrow?
I've never had it, so
it's
I don't
fatty.
Know if I'd
it's
like,
rich.
I don't like fat, like on steak or anything, so.
Yeah. Well, it says on the stones, and they've been seasoned with that.
Oh.
So it's not in it. Yeah. Yeah. So you might do the bone marrow.
Maybe.
Especially if it's beef bone marrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But I like blue corn.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it supposed to taste different than like yellow corn?
No.
Because, you know,
I think it's a texture thing more than
I've had
anything.
Blue tortilla chips.
Right.
Like blue corn tortilla chips, and they just taste
same.
Like tortilla chips. So.
Yeah. That, like I said, I think it's more of a texture thing. Like they're more crisp. Mm. They tend to harden a lot quicker. I'm not sure. But yeah. Peaky bread, you can eat it like a log.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I have the theme song from Ren and Stimpy. Log, log, falling down the stairs log. It's like supposed to be like a new toy.
And I don't remember that song.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to pull it up sometime. It's pretty good. But anyways, the next one here, you've got Navajo tacos.
I have heard of those and eaten those.
And what was your experience like?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not like a Mexican or Latin type of taco or anything at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's fry bread.
Yeah.
It's like the base, and then there's just kind of regular taco fillings. So
yeah,
it's good.
It's like it's a bigger, puffier taco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I liked how puffy it was.
Yeah.
And it was more doughy.
Oh, more doughy.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? There you go. Yeah, Navajo tacos, Indian tacos, which, you know, now you can't really say Indian tacos because then they might think it's like butter chicken or tikka masala tacos. So you have to.
Not the right India.
Right. Yeah. And then fry bread tacos are all the same. It's a traditional American dish originating from the Midwest and Intermountain region states such as Arizona, South Dakota, and Oklahoma. Quite the spread throughout those states. These tacos are made with Indian fry bread that's topped with a combination of ingredients such as ground beef, beans, shredded lettuce, cheddar cheese, sour cream, and tomatoes. The dish was created in 1864 using flour, salt, and lard that was given to the Navajos of Arizona when they were forced to flee their homeland and march on foot to New Mexico, a journey known as the Long Walk. Ooh. The fry bread is nowadays topped with a wide array of ingredients mentioned above, sometimes with even more additional items. The more, the better, such as pico de gallo, salsa, black olives, sliced avocado, and green onions. And so, I've always heard that fry bread tacos, or Indian fry bread, or what have you, it is a controversial, or it can be a controversial food, because they're like, oh, well, the white man gave us this. So, like, right. We shouldn't be eating this because this isn't native. But at the same time, there's others that look at it and say, well, sure, they did, but it's basically us grabbing something that was a awful situation and making the most out of it. Being like,
right.
You know, yeah, having a creativity or ingenuity to make this thing.
I don't think they should have had. Have made something like this, you know, with the things they were given based on the situation they were in. They shouldn't have been in that situation at all.
Right.
But the fact that they were able to show resilience in a way to be able to make something their own with what they were given, even though it's not traditional or standard for them. To make something that they can claim as their own, I think it just shows a lot of perseverance.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, like, the thing that I always wondered, and maybe people have talked about, I'm not sure, but, like, northern Mexico, they have a lot of flour tortilla-based things. And it kind of makes me wonder... Like, do they look at anything that's flour tortilla and they're like, oh, well, you know, that came from North American whatever? Or were they like, no, we got flour and it was something besides corn. And so we made that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I got to brush up on my Mexican history. I'm not sure. But it makes you wonder, you know, because the thing that I always, whenever I look at it anyways, and the texture may be completely off, reminds me of a chalupa.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
So, yeah, I don't know, but it looks delicious.
They taste very good.
Yeah, I mean, fried dough.
there were like powwows.
Yeah.
Down where I grew up, they had it at the like VA rehabilitation center.
Yeah.
There was like this open field kind of thing, and I don't know if they still have it, but I know that like my mom and grandma and I went a couple times, and that's the only place I've tried it.
Eh.
So
there you go. Go to more powwows. you can learn more about the culture and also maybe get some fried bread.
Yep.
But yeah, the next one here, shows the layers here on the video, folks. Yeah, they can get to see the stack.
There's a lot
on
there. It's filling.
Yeah. And then the next one here, a chimichanga.
Oh.
Yeah. Or a chivichanga or a thingamajig. Yeah. Chimichanga is a wrapped, deep-fried flour tortilla filled with a variety of ingredients such as shredded chicken, beef, rice, beans, onions, and cheese, or all of those together. Mm-hmm. Although the dish is especially popular in the Mexican regions of Sinaloa and Sonora, most people believe that chimichanga was either invented in a Tucson restaurant or in a Phoenix restaurant in the early 1920s. Regardless of its origins, chimichanga is a widely known favorite throughout Mexico and the U.S. up to this day. With numerous regional variations, it is recommended to serve chimichangas with salsas, sour cream, dips, or guacamole.
Most things are good deep fried.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a universal fact.
Yeah. And I remember, like... And this is like dumb old me, hillbilly Missouri coming through. I did not know the difference between a burrito and a chimichanga for the longest time. Didn't. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I go to work one day and there was a coworker of mine and there was a local Mexican place around here and he got a chimichanga. And I'm like... Oh, yeah, it's like a huge burrito. He's like, yeah, deep-fried burrito. And I'm like, right. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, wait. So if it's not fried, it's just called a burrito. And he kind of gave me a weird look, like, yeah. And I'm just, uh-huh. Like, I thought a chimichanga, I thought it had something to do with the filling. You know,
because
growing up in Missouri, like you'd see it on menus and stuff, but I mainly interacted with chimichangas through microwave chimichanga, like the El Monterey, whatever. And so I didn't know what it was at all. I thought, oh, well, a chimichanga has meat in it and a burrito has beans.
Yeah.
And I thought I was like a genius. No, nope. I was way off. But yeah, the next one here, a cutie patootie. It's a gingerbread pig.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's right. Some people call them cochinitos. Others prefer ginger pigs. Cute and not too sweet, these little piggies from El Rio Bakery in Tucson fall somewhere between a cookie and a cake, yet they're not really a sweet bread. Rumor holds that they get their flavor from molasses, but the bakery won't tell.
Yeah. Those are so cute.
Yeah. The gingerbread pig, this is the first one through Food Network. All the last ones were through the great tasteatlas.com. But yeah, gingerbread pig. I just like the brushing on the top where you can tell like the sugar is caramelized somehow, whether it's molasses or whatever. Yeah. It kind of looks like the pig that my grandpa used to make. A tray out of. You could use it to whatchamacallit, to put stuff either in the oven or out of the oven. You could take it in or out, you know. But you'd use the ears and then the hooves, and you could move it around.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's just cute. Man, I bet it tastes good.
Yeah, it looks fluffy for some reason. I don't know why.
It looks like airy.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, and then next one here. Sonoran hot dogs.
Oh.
Yeah. They're specialty little hot dogs. They're wrapped in bacon, then nested into a bolillo. Yeah, bolillo. So it's like an all-around wrapped bread.
Hmm.
It's a Mexican baguette. On top of a bed of pinto beans, the Sonoran dog is sitting pretty in its international fame. There are many great Sonoran hot dogs in Arizona, but the ones from Jason's Mexican Food in Tucson come with a cheese-filled, bacon-wrapped yellow chili pepper on the side.
Wow.
Yeah. They're also topped with exceptional green chili salsa alongside the mayo, yellow mustard, and chopped tomatoes. No ketchup.
Sounds super good.
No ketchup.
It doesn't need ketchup.
It has chopped tomatoes.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
that's good enough.
That's good enough. But it's got mayo on it. You'd ask no mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say no mayo, please.
Yeah. No mayonnaise.
If I have anything to say about it, I don't want mayonnaise on my sandwiches or food or whatever, but... Yeah. You know, if I order it and I forget to ask, or I don't know what's on there. I'll still eat it.
You tolerate it?
I do. Wow. But it's just not. If I have a choice,
I tell you.
If I have a say in the matter, then I'm not going to eat mayo.
Yeah. A lot of individuals in my life that do not like eggs or mayonnaise. And very trivial things. You got to order it with or without. And it comes on a lot of stuff. It's food lube.
That's what I've makes us that. All unique and weird, but unique.
Next up is ranch fries. I know, right? These look pretty good. Yeah. Crinkle cut fries smothered in house-made ranch dressing and vegetarian bacon bits.
Also like the...
They're like the little shaker.
In the store, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bacon or whatever.
Right. They may not seem like that big of a deal, but anyone who's tried them will disagree. When people are asked about what dish most reminds them of Arizona, the most frequent response tends to be, I don't know if it's Edgy's or Eegee's ranch fries, which are available only in southern Arizona.
I didn't know about any of these foods so far other than the fry bread tacos.
Yeah.
But I knew there was a reason. People talked about, Arizona being kind of a little mecca of good food. Yeah. They smother ranch
on
french fries.
Yeah.
And give it to you.
With little bacon bits.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. That's
better than cheese fries. Well, I'm going to have to step back on.
Yeah, I say you
I thought about
phone.
It.
What about depends cheesy on, ranch fries?
That's too much. Ooh, I think it depends on the cheese. If it's a good melty cheese,
queso. That's
better.
Queso.
Yeah, but if it's like, if it's like that concession stand cheese on some fries or something,
cheese.
Like it's really like bad.
Yeah.
Melty cheese, then I would rather have ranch fries.
Yeah, if they do like shredded Colby Jack on top of that, not very much.
Right.
But yeah. And I mean, Arizona, I feel like Arizona falls in the same thing that a lot of Midwestern states fall into, which is there is nothing to do.
Right.
There's nothing. There's no crazy mountains to go to, which Arizona at least has the Grand Canyon, but at the same time it's kind of just a big hole scar in the ground, right?
I mean, a lot of people there's some recreational stuff to do, like hiking, trails. There's the state parks, national parks, all of that. Golfing.
Sounds like a kid's wonderland.
Lots of people golf, but I think because it's too hot, there's not much to do.
Yeah.
Like as where we live, so.
Yeah. And so that's my thing. You know, it's one of those things where a lot of these states that people are like, oh, it's a flyover state, or oh, it's just desert. Oh, it's just, Washington, it's just rain and trees. Like, good food comes out of there.
You got to dig a little deeper.
Know? Yeah,
you
can't
just assume.
You can't just look at the surface. You got to scratch it. And then apologize if it hurt, but anyways, the next one here, cowboy steak.
Huh.
Yeah. A cowboy steak dinner fulfills a lot of people's culinary Old West fantasies. This is the kind of meal that you can imagine John Wayne eating. A giant mesquite grilled T-bone steak served with charro beans, thick slices of white bread, and an auxiliary green salad. Get one at Pinnacle Peak in Tucson. Or Rustler's Roost in Phoenix.
There's not even any, it's not toasted bread, it's just bread?
White bread, yep.
Okay.
White bread. You get white bread, that's it. Doesn't have garlic on it, ain't Texas toast.
Like I would eat rolls, but...
Oh, that's good for you, you can't have a cowboy. You can call that one a cowgirl steak. More people would order the cowgirl steak if you did that.
Yeah, because people are naughty.
yeah. It's like, you can get the cowgirl steak. It's like, oh, man. That comes with the good bread, right? And they're like, yeah, and a strawberry lemonade. Ooh.
Yeah, I'd pick that.
I want the cowgirl steak.
I don't know. When I eat steak, I want, potatoes and
It's kind of a rich maybe thing, rolls. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and like then I a want vegetable. Other. Yeah. Yeah. One veggie to make sure you're not going off the rails.
Right.
But it's got to be a rich meal. Like a baked potato just slathered in butter. You know?
I don't know. Just the beans and then just white bread is really throwing me off.
Yeah. Well, and like, can you even make a sandwich out of that? Not really. Like, if they gave you two slices of white bread. Yeah, if they gave you two slices of white bread, it's like, what, beans, steak?
It'd be wet and heavy.
Yeah. I don't know. But maybe they'd give you this, if you asked nicely, mesquite flour bread. Yeah. Barrio Bread's Don Guerra makes wild yeast artisan loaves out of mesquite flour and other ancient grains native to Arizona. A full-service bakery in Tucson, Barrio also serves a huge selection of lovingly crafted classics, including pan epi and old world rye.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And, yeah, all I can think about with mesquite is, like, wood.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they get flour. Like, is it smoked flour? Or is there a mesquite plant that I don't know about? I mean, this one here, it's got the shape of Arizona with a cactus on
it. Yeah. Very Instagrammable.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I don't know if that's a napkin or what underneath, but if that's
probably
the
like
size
the
of it.
The bag it comes in.
Yeah, the bag it comes in. I mean, that's specialty bread, man. That's toasty, roasty. It's got the flour on it. Anyway, next one here. Carne seca plate. Yeah, this was the big one that was on Top Chef a while back. Thin slices of beef are marinated in lime and garlic, then slow dried in the sun before being shredded and pan fried with green chilies, onions, and tomatoes to make carne seca. The classic carne seca plate served at the famous Mi Nidito pairs the sun-dried shredded beef with Mexican rice, refried beans, and a tortilla. Word to the wise, the wait time for a table can be up to an hour, so get to the restaurant at peak off times if you don't want to die.
Oh.
No, if you don't want to idle. That's what they
say. That sounds. But I'm
going to
say.
Looks
and sounds so good.
It does. I just imagine shredded beef jerky that it's then re-moisturized.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And easily the plate that it comes on here. Give me some flour tortillas. Mm-hmm. I'm making little tacos out of this.
You need more than one.
Yeah. I need like three or four. I need a lot. I'm a little tortilla, you know. Woman of the night. That's what I am. I'm a little tortilla woman of the night. Anybody who's like, hey, we'll give you five. I'm like, oh. And they're like, extra quarter. I'm like, oh. Like, no, I don't know. But yeah. And then the next one here, red and or white menudo. Yeah, menudo. Don't be put off by the main ingredient in menudo. Not only is this tripe and hominy soup delicious, but it is also widely believed to heal hangovers and whatever else might ail you. At Teresa's Mosaic Cafe in Tucson, pictured, it's served with toasted bolillo rolls, ground chiltepin peppers, Mexican oregano, cilantro, and slices of lemon. Thankfully, diners can get small bowls of both red and white menudo, so the indecisive don't have to choose between the two.
Hmm.
Comes with toasted bread.
Yeah, that's an improvement.
That's an improvement.
And just white bread.
Yeah, yeah. I believe I only had tripe once. One of those foods, odd texture, right? But the flavor is rather beefy. So
I've never had it, and I don't know if I will.
Oh.
Well, it looks like you're not having menudo. Because it's like chewy, right?
A little.
Yeah, I don't.
It can be if it's cooked
improperly. You know, I don't even like fat on steak or anything.
Right. You know, waiter or waitress is like, would you like a red or white menudo? And you're like, no, I won't have the menudo. I will take the cowgirl. I'll take the cowgirl steak. Thank you. And they're like, well, this is an appetizer. And you're like, no. I'll take the toasted bread.
They're not like, saying I wouldn't try it. I just
Won't like it.
Maybe. I would like try it from you if you ordered this and see if I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you did, you'd have like half the bowl.
I'm more open to like trying new things than I have been before when I was younger, but I'm still a little hesitant. I won't lie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
I still got a little bit of pickiness, a little bit of hesitancy that I need to work on.
Yeah.
So.
And it's one of those things, like I said, one day I think you're going to try something texturally so bad that you got to do something about it. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I broke my mouth. I'm like Devin. Yeah. Or you could be like our little friend Biscuit.
Yay.
Who just jumped up. Yep.
He's on the.
Oh, he's on the bed. Yep. Oh, there he goes.
I got to wash that part too.
He's down. Yep. But the next one here, I think this is why Biscuit came in, the prickly pear margarita.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Yes. If you don't believe that the bright pink color of this margarita really exists in nature, go to the serene and scenic Tohono O'Toole Park Garden Bistro in Tucson and drink one amongst actual prickly pear cactus and other native flora and fauna. Then you can take a walking tour of the park and learn all about Sonoran Desert edible plants.
That sounds like my kind of day.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Prickly pear anything. I like the flavor of prickly pear, but I will admit to most folks, you try it.
Is it bitter?
No. No, not bitter. It I don't know how to put it other than the flavor when you first taste it almost comes off waxy in a way.
Oh.
Like it has a weird, and it's not texture. It doesn't leave a film.
Because cactus is kind of like smooth and
you expect it to be really, really sweet, and it is sweet, but it's not as sweet as you think it will be. Just like Biscuit.
Oh
yeah, he's super
sweet. He touched
sweet,
my hand. It's cute,
but he's not as sweet as you think.
No, he's not. He scratched me earlier today because he fell off of a chair when I was trying to help him. So
this little guy, I tell you.
Nope, wrong way.
Yep, there you go.
There we go. You guys, you got to watch online.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah, you'll get to see all
you'll
the
get
great
to see
wonders.
These cute little devils.
Yeah, yeah. And then another cute little devil, the Pico de Gallo Fruit Cup. Yeah.
Oh.
Chili powder, lime, and salt are all key ingredients in many local sweet treats, especially those that feature fruit. Chamoy, a sweet and lightly vinegary sauce made from fermented chilies, also make an appearance. Taqueria Pico de Gallo, or Gallo, in South Tucson serves thick slices of watermelon, jicama, mango, and fresh coconut doused liberally in all of the above in their iconic red plastic cups.
Nice.
Yeah. Very big time stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, just like the big time Bisky. Oh, here he comes. Oh, no. Biscuit, are you okay? Oh, my gosh. Oh, we got a man down. We got a man down.
What did I just say? He fell off
gosh.
The chair.
Oh, my are gosh. You okay, little guy?
Oh,
I'm telling you, he does this all the time. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even do I just went and rotated a little, and he just, and he went down. It's like a Lion King scenario. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Everybody, we got to calm down a second here. Woo. Woo. Oh, man. Is he okay? Is the little guy
he
okay?
He looks completely
he
fine.
He looks completely fine. He just... His pride. It's just pride.
I think he's just embarrassed, especially because it's on camera.
Yeah, it's on camera. Him just, oh my gosh, little guy. I'm telling you, he,
I
have my big water jug over here, and I think he didn't realize, like, he can't get around it, so he put 2 feet down, and his other 2 feet landed nowhere. He just went straight down. Oh, look at him. He's looking up at you. He's like, oh, mommy, help me.
Help. My legs are broke.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, you're a cat. You're super flexible.
I'm just glad he's okay. Everybody, I'm sorry for the disturbance.
I'm only laughing just because.
Yeah, he would do that in the middle of the thing. He wants attention. He always wants attention. I tell you.
I love owning cats.
Yeah, they're fun.
I love pets.
They're fun. But the next one here, you got a mangoyada raspado. Yeah. I don't know what's on top of this. It looks like dog food. Most raspados, or Mexican-style snow cones, start with shaved ice, but they have a more complex combination of flavors than your typical American version. The mangoyada is topped with diced mango, lime juice, and chamoy, pickled fruit syrup, along with salty sweet rayalitos, which are tamarind candies that are everywhere in Arizona, though they're less well-known in other parts of the country. Yeah. That's what it is.
I also wasn't trying to be offensive by saying it looks like dog food.
No, it just does. The texture of it. It looks like
that dry, like, it. They call it soft dog food, but it's still kind of dry.
Yeah, yeah. But no, the second it said tamarind, I was like, oh, okay. Like, yep. And then the next one here, very pretty looking, the combo plate.
Mm-hmm.
Tucson is UNESCO's first U.S. city of gastronomy. To experience the variety of flavor that landed the city its prestigious accolade, try one of Cafe Poca Cosa's ever-changing combo platters, which are edible works of art created by Chef Susana Davila. Pictured are pico de gallo, or gallo, encrusted fruit, green corn tamale pie, chicken mole, machaca, and eggs and pickled onions.
I thought it was gallo.
See, I thought it was gallo too. The main thing is they keep saying
that accent.
The main thing is like every time they say that it doesn't look like there's pico de gallo anywhere on it.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like I should say the American version of pico de gallo. So onions, tomatoes, cilantro, lime juice.
Yeah, that's true.
Like it's nowhere on this plate. So I don't know if it's gallo or gallo. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cover your bases.
I got to cover my bases. Yeah. Unlike our son who doesn't understand how to cover his traces.
I was trying to hold in laughter while you were talking about this. It wasn't because of the food.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
I'm falling again.
I'm not a professional, so.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't keep it together, everyone.
Oh, no. But the next one here, green corn tamales.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
Green corn?
Yeah, green corn. Considered seasonal but available in most places year-round, green corn tamales are best with fresh green corn is harvested in late summer. Try them at Carolina's Mexican Food in northern Arizona or at the Alton Brown-approved Tucson Tamale Company down south.
Nice.
Yeah. And the next one here, Taco Gordo.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, they weren't kidding when they named the Taco Gordo. It's a fat thing to behold at a restaurant with the best name ever. The Taco Gordo at Taco Fish in South Tucson has two corn tortillas layered with fried fish and shrimp, shredded marlin, and a single fried shrimp perched on top like a cherry. One Taco Gordo costs $3.50. That's not bad. Wow.
With all that seafood, that's crazy.
And with all the toppings from the salsa bar, it's a full meal. Yeah.
Wow.
The next one here, I think my mom made these all the time on accident. Beef patty tacos. To help satisfy her children's cries for burgers, Teresa Matias folded a hamburger patty into a tortilla and fried it, topped with cheese, lettuce, and tomato. It later became a regular menu item at her restaurant, Teresa's Mosaic Cafe in Tucson. Apparently, a lot of moms had the same experience because the beef patty taco has been standard restaurant fare around southern Arizona since the mid-1970s.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep. It's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah.
The next one here, red chili tamales with green olives. And you just recently figured out you love green olives.
I think I talked about that last time. I love green olives.
Yeah.
I might even like them better than black.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because
they're like saltier.
What?
Yeah. I love olives.
Oh, man. Olives are like the wonder food of the world. Olive branch means peace. I mean,
exactly.
Come on.
Olive oil.
Yeah, olive oil.
Like the best oil.
Yeah. Should have named our cat Olivo.
No, it doesn't start with B.
Doesn't. Yeah. We got Biscuit and Benny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at El Molinito in the Oro Valley, you'll find Sonoran-style red chili tamales made with green olives inside, which differentiates them from red chili tamales in other parts of the American Southwest. Even though they are traditionally served on Christmas Eve and are a popular holiday gift, they are available year-round in southern Arizona restaurants. I like that tradition, being gifted green, olive, red tamales.
Yeah, that's a pretty good gift.
I want
that. Sorry. I'm just looking back at Biscuit, and he's very smug.
Yeah. He's soaking it in. He's like, hey, guys, you remember when I
fell? He's like, I'm going to ruin your whole pace that you got going with this.
Right. I'm going to just crash your recording. Oh, yeah, look at him. He's yawning. He doesn't even care.
I'm sorry. I know it's not part of the show.
And he's walked on this desk thousands of times. Never fallen off. Never had a problem.
You're okay.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
He's just, his eyes are closed.
Yeah.
Petting his chin. He's like, my pride is injured.
Yeah. Oh, no, mommy. Yeah. That's, oh, my gosh. What a little dunce. Anyways, the last one here, sadly, we have Sonoran style flat enchilada with egg.
I'll skip.
A corn masa pancake that's baked or fried and then topped with enchilada sauce. And if you're lucky, a fried egg is perfect for breakfast time. Get one at the Anita Street Market in Tucson or Rosita's Mexican Food in Tempe. I would love that. That sounds like amazing times for me. I bet Biscuit would fall off a table to try to get it.
He would go down the Grand Canyon just to get some attention.
You're right.
That's how needy he is. But then with him, or you try to pet him or do whatever when he doesn't want it.
Oh, and he attacks you. He goes after you like you did something horribly wrong.
Yeah. It's a complete 180 either way.
Yeah. I'm sorry this whole episode, Arizona, turned into a Biscuit fest, but it did.
That was his goal.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. That's what I'm trying to say. That's why I keep laughing is because I think he knows what he's doing.
He knows.
He's not just a cat that's like, ooh, he knows what he's doing.
He's like, Arizona, I don't like Arizona. He just runs around. Yep. Oh
my gosh.
But Arizona food, talk about just spicy, salty, got tons of herbs, got tons of fresh veggies,
carbs, meat. You got everything.
You got it all, folks. You got even the beef jerky carne seca, right? Oh my god. Yeah, Biscuit, isn't that crazy? Oh, it's so good. But the next time on United Foods of America, we're going down south to Mississippi.
Wow.
Yep. Mississippi. I tell you what, I've been to Mississippi a couple of times. We'll see everybody next time on United Foods of America, Mississippi. What I remember from Mississippi, fire ants. I remember that. Yeah. I remember different types of willow trees that came through or something like that. And then, little ponds that had all sorts of stuff. I remember that. And then driving through Mississippi. I remember doing that. Yeah.
I don't have anything to say. I've never been. So.
Yeah. It's odd that it's named the Mississippi River.
MISSISSIPPI.
In my crooked letter, I, crooked letter, IPPI. That's how we remembered it. Yeah. M little, oh man, I had a song in my head. I remember it. It was like MISSISSIPPI. Everybody. It's like, oh man. There were all sorts of weird stuff you tried to learn in school. But Mississippi River, yet it comes out of Louisiana. It touches Mississippi here, but otherwise, it's touching all these other states. But anyway, Mississippi. We'll see everybody next time on United Foods of America. Thank you, Biscuit, for crashing in. but also, thank you, Kaylee, for joining.
Sure.
It was a fun time in Arizona.
Yes. Let's go sometime soon.
Yeah.
Eat some food and go swimming and
Yeah.
go to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. touch
get,
a cactus. Get,
yeah, I was say, about to say, prickly. Get pricked by a cactus.
Catch a lizard.
Get dehydrated so we don't have enough water.
Oh. Oh, boy.
See a scorpion.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Fun.
Fun things.
No, I do really want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, almost went. Like you were saying, if it wasn't for the panorama pandemic. It,
I know. Yeah. I could have. Yeah. But unfortunately yeah. not.
Unfortunate time.
It just wasn't meant to be at that time.
Yeah. But all right. We'll see everybody next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
We'll see everybody next time in Mississippi.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.